My title this morning is called God Our Deliverer. I can't even say it. Deliverer. And I'd like to start with a reading from Daniel 10, verses 10 to 14. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. And stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. The developed world today has got very high expectations with regard to delivery service. Exactly when this embedded itself in our thinking is hard to know for sure. I can remember when I was a kid that you could order pizza and it would be delivered to your house. But as a kid, we could not order our groceries and have them delivered to our doorstep. Obviously, the internet has made things possible that previously had not been possible. And once we could access the power of the internet on smartphones, things changed yet again. Amazon, as a company, has surely been a key player in the move from old-fashioned mail order to the modern scenario of ordering online today and receiving your order the next day, if not sooner, if you live in an urban area. It's just, even like if you live in the city, you can actually place orders and you can get them on the same day. Not so much in Lincolnshire, but definitely if you live in the city. Now, most of us have grown to expect that whatever we might need or want, we can get in a very short space of time and have it delivered to our front door, or a parcel box in my case, as I am at work most of the day. This has resulted in an enormous growth in the employment of people who are deliverers of items that people have ordered. I have groceries delivered, clothes delivered, plants delivered, furniture delivered. Recently, I ordered some sticky gold stars for a boy I'm trying to encourage through the use of a star chart. I ordered them last Saturday, and last Sunday evening, a delivery person brought them to my door. I get updates that track where my item is and a delivery time window provided so that I know when to expect my item. I also get a notification on my phone when the parcel's been delivered, and often there's a photograph to prove that it's been left at my property if I was not there to receive it myself. I've been reflecting over the past few weeks on what Scripture teaches us about God as our deliverer. The Exodus story comes immediately to mind. Deliverer in this context is the one who rescued the children of Israel from their bondage and slavery in Egypt. We know that this event foreshadowed Christ as our deliverer from sin and death. So a deliverer is one who saves or rescues. But a deliverer is also someone who delivers something from one place to another. And if you think about it, God rescued the children of Israel from their oppressed lives in Egypt, but he also delivered them, that is, ensured their safe passage from Egypt to the Promised Land. God as our deliverer is both the one who comes to our rescue and saves us from the consequences of our Genesis 3 fallen condition, and is also the one who delivers his blessings and provision to us. So we see two situations with God as our deliverer. One where we are the thing being delivered from one place or state of being to another, and one where things are being delivered to us. Living the abundant life that God intends for us requires us to trust Him. It requires us to have absolute confidence that He will rescue us from harm and keep us safe and ultimately provide us with safe passage to eternal life with Him. It also requires us to have confidence that He will provide us for this life on earth and everything we need to become the people He wants us to be. When the Lord had delivered David from the hand of King Saul and other enemies, David sings this song, found in 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 to 4. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. It's unclear who wrote Psalm 91. It's thought to be written by either Moses or David. But in this passage, we hear God's explanation for the deliverance He provides. Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God willingly rescues those who love him and know his name and trust him to answer when they call upon him. And not only has God promised to rescue us from life's dangers, He promises to give us everything we need for living out our lives. We see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And then Paul writing to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I would like to explore a little further the idea of God as one who delivers things to us. My opening reading looks at Daniel, who had been praying for understanding about God's plan for those still in Babylon, as Daniel had had a vision but was not able to make sense of it. The passage that I selected is one clear place in Scripture that confirms two things about prayer. The first is that God hears us from the first prayer we utter. The second is that delays in answers can be the result of spiritual warfare between Satan and his minions and God's angel army. Daniel's determination to continue praying until he received an answer seemed to be part of what enabled the breakthrough. When I spoke recently about alignment with God's promises rather than effort, I referred to this verse in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Daniel's commitment to prayer had a direct impact on the events in the heavenlies. It definitely begs the question, would Gabriel have broken through the barrier set by the prince of Persia if Daniel had stopped praying on the 20th day or earlier? Living a life of faith requires us to believe what we cannot see. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think each one of us would feel an enormous comfort and peace in our hearts if we had an app that tracked the delivery of our prayers. If I could see on a heavenly map where exactly my prayers for my children's salvation were in real time, and if I had an estimated time of delivery, I would be so relieved and would feel confident and reassured that my request was on its way, no matter how long that might take. In an age where we can order something today and receive it tomorrow, praying over weeks, months, years, and decades for something that we desperately want and believe is in alignment with God's will can be very hard. But consider this. When we order something and pay for it online, it is ours. It's ours before it arrives at our door. It's ours at the point that the money leaves our bank account and confirmation of purchase is sent to us, either by email or text or in an app. We then have a period of waiting until what is ours is delivered to us. In our fallen world, things do go wrong. Orders go missing, items run out of stock and are no longer available, things can arrive damaged, and usually we're able to get our money back if we've not received what we've paid for. But even with these risks, most of us have confidence that if we ordered it and paid for it, it is ours and it will arrive on schedule. Why do we fail so often to have that confidence in what has been purchased for us through Christ's life, death, and resurrection? All of God's promises are a resounding yes for us, and He is faithful in sending them our way. 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us." And Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." It's like having a prepaid account, and all we have to do is secure our order by asking for what we need. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." What we ask for in accordance with God's will, and if he said it in Scripture, then it is clearly his will, is ours. And we can know that we have what we have asked for. That is exactly what John has said in those verses I've just read. Our struggle is with the waiting time. We have our own impatience to deal with, but we have an even greater danger during the time between our initial request and receiving what we've asked for: our enemy, the evil one. Jesus himself taught his disciples to pray that God would deliver them from the evil one. Matthew 6:13, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Paul reiterates this in his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." The evil one stood in the way of Daniel's original prayer and the answer to it. The angel Gabriel reassures Daniel that his prayers had been heard and actioned on the first day, but a 21-day battle ensued, preventing Gabriel from visiting Daniel with the clarification about his vision. During that time of silence, without the benefit of a tracking device to follow the progress of the answer, Daniel kept on praying, and what he learns when Gabriel finally gets through to him confirms what Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We are in a genuine battle. We have a very real enemy. But God is our deliverer. He is delivering his promises to us. We know that he hears us and that we have what we have asked for. That transaction makes what we have asked for ours at the point of asking. But we do not know what the journey time is going to be. And we do not know what obstacles in heavenly places will be slowing things down. The fight and the struggle are real. Satan 100% does not want us to receive God's promises. When we experience God's promises in our lives, it confirms that God is faithful and truthful, and Satan seriously does not want us to believe that. I almost wish that the traditional rendition of the Lord's Prayer that we pray together each week used the words, as they are in many translations of Matthew 6:13, deliver us from the evil one, rather than deliver us from evil in a more generalized sense. In order to pray with confidence and to truly believe that we have what we have prayed for, we need to be rescued from the evil one who will do everything in his power to thwart our prayers and to cast doubt on God as our deliverer. We do not know God's time scales, and we do not understand what battle might be taking place in heaven in order for our delivery to get through to us. Acts 1:7 says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. We are never going to be given a tracking app for our prayers, but we do know that God hears our prayers and that he is faithful and will deliver to us what we have asked for. Like Daniel, we must continue to pray, knowing that what we have requested is most certainly on its way. We must not be anxious when our prayers are not answered as quickly as we would like them to be. We must pray that God delivers us from the evil one who would have us doubt God's love for us and his faithfulness in providing what he says he will provide to those who call upon him. We must also be thankful, giving praise to the Lord for the answer to our prayers before we receive what we have requested. We must learn to live in the peace of knowing that our prayers have been answered and are on their way to us. Paul summarizes this well in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is our deliverer. In him we trust. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we're humbled by the truth that we are confident in purchases that we make and expect to be delivered to our homes, and yet we doubt too frequently that things we've asked of you that are consistent with your word, that somehow we feel that maybe or maybe not will they arrive. Please fill each one of us, Lord, with the confidence in your promises and the understanding that we don't know your time scales and that we don't know what battles are taking place by the enemy to prevent our prayers from being delivered to us. We know, Lord, that you have our best interests at heart and that your promises are faithful and true. Please give us the confidence to live our lives in peace, knowing that what we have asked of you, you are delivering to us. Thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen.